riots and shadowy henchmen galore. Party hacks and swift boat and talk show whores. Look at all the lies it takes, the job of making kings.
Hello and welcome to Two Old Guys on the Back Porch. I am Steve Scotch, and we have the lovely and talented Kat. That's C-A-T, kicking ass and taking names. Later, Kat, what's going on?
Hey, how y'all doing? We can be found on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, all Spotify, all your favorite podcast platforms. I'm going to shout out two places today that listen to us, apparently. One is San Pablo, Florida, near the Jacksonville area. San Pablo's a neighborhood there located in the northeast east of the Jacksonville Golf and Country Club. There's also a San Pablo Marina. There's a San Pablo Creek there near the Intercoastal Waterway. Our other town is Chambersburg, Pennsylvania. During the Civil War, Chambersburg was burnt to a crisp, and it's part of the town's historic identity and remembered every year. Every year, July 30th, there in Chambersburg, they remember the big fire that burned the town into soot. Giving y'all a round of applause.
All right. Alcohol is always chilling here on the back porch. You know what the difference between a beer and your opinion is? I asked for a beer. Today I'm having a Stella Artois. You got to switch it up. Drinking the same beer all the time just gets boring. Kat, what you got?
Got me a lovely hibiscus French 75, a little hibiscus syrup, a little champagne, a little gin.
Ooh, sounds sweet like you, babe. Don't get ripped.
Thanks, dog.
Okay, today's podcast is a plea for help.
And that's our dog drinking a ton of water because he's
that's fitting because this is about
it's
animals.
He's been a complete jerk all day.
That's my Riley. Evidently, I've chosen animals, wild or tame, over humans. At 60 plus years old, am I over 60 now?
Yes.
I found out that my interactions with humans seem to turn out bad, and my interactions with animals seem to turn out good. I don't know how it got to this point. Who has a strong connection to animals as an animal person? Not me. I mean, never been anti-animal. We had a dog when I was a kid. My grandparents had pets. They were just there, you know. I never really thought about it. I did get chased and bit by dogs growing up, trying to ride the bikey around the neighborhood. Nothing traumatic. And then I end up marrying a girl who loves animals and told me right out the gate that she's going to have a cat in her presence every day of her life. And she has kept that promise.
Package deal.
Now, as a married couple, we have had two dogs, both spoiled rotten. But here's where things have gotten sideways, okay? I'm turning into one of those, it's slowly happening, one of those animal freaks who cares more about animals than he does his own self or his own people around him. The other day it hit me. You know, I'm feeding feral cats that hang out around the office where I work.
And we fixed them all, most of them.
Right. Kat did a great job on that. Kat and I have bird feeders in our backyard. But, of course, I took that to a new level. And now we've got a woodpecker feeder, a hummingbird feeder, we got every bird feeder you can think of. I'm pouring unsalted peanuts on top of the feeders because the blue jays, woodpeckers, titmouses, cardinals, they all love them. And now these birds are like hanging out in the trees around here in the backyard waiting for me to dump out peanuts.
You're turning into Snow White.
They're addicted. They're like, peanut boy, get your ass out here. Now, in the back corner of the yard, I started dumping corn and some stuff I call critter crack just in this spot out here in the back corner of the backyard where I couldn't get grass to grow, just a dirt spot. Put a trail camera right there on a tree, and we got deer, raccoons, squirrels, tons of squirrels, chipmunks showed up, a dozen different species of birds and foxes coming to this one spot about, what do you think, Kat, 40, 50 yards from our house. Now, recently, I noticed a couple of little foxes sniffing around the backyard. Now, we're not in a neighborhood, okay? We're surrounded by thick woods. We're way off the beaten path. So you'd probably expect to see these critters.
Well, we're also surrounded by a river that they're also kind of following. True.
So I started helping out Mama Fox. And, you know, I thought she had two little ones. Then I saw three. She actually has five, which is normal. Red Fox has like four to five pups. And here's something I didn't know. The male fox actually hangs around and helps take care of the little ones. You know, most species, the male does his business and then pieces out. So I started throwing out like old bread, some leftovers. Like the same time every afternoon. Well, Mama Fox picked up on the time schedule and started meeting me at the spot. Now, I've done a little turkey hunting. I've spent a little time in the woods. And I've had some wild game, you know, walk right up on me. But the first time Mama Fox came right up, I'm going to say 15 feet away, I was not comfortable with that situation. But now that it's happened, what, damn near every afternoon for a month or two?
Pretty much.
Really not that freaked out. I know some people have fed foxes right out of their hand. That's not going to happen.
Nah.
But what's cool about adult foxes is they make sure the little ones eat first. And then they worry about themselves. Mama Fox runs around, picks up all the scraps I throw out there, and she takes them back to the... back to the house, back to the den. And then she comes back and cleans up whatever's left. So I thought that was pretty cool. Now, what's not cool is that I've cleaned out our freezer. I'm now shopping. I'm buying food for foxes at the freaking grocery store. Okay, I need y'all to pray for me. Okay.
He's getting me to do it too. I bought Costco raspberries today.
They scoffed them up. I just watched it. My bank account is going down the tubes. You know, I've put it in my head that wild animals have feelings. And once I start putting food out there, I can't stop. I had in my head that when the fox, the deer, the raccoons come to the spot and expect to find food and there's nothing there, in my head I think, suppose it was me. Suppose I was hungry and I know where to go to get some food and then I go there and there's nothing there. That's whacked. Okay, that's whacked. That's where I'm going. I'm going down the rabbit hole. Worried about the feelings of a wild animal who have the instincts, what? To survive without me, okay?
Right.
But I think they need my help. So I think I'm the one who needs help. Okay. There's so many stories of people.
But you're glossing over something. Something else that has shown up here at the corner that we weren't too happy about.
Right. Bears showed up. I was going to leave that out because if I don't talk about the bear, I feel like it's not here. But, yeah, we had a pretty good size adult bear come out here, whack a bird feeder, then whacked another one. And that's a little spooky. I'm not going to shoot the bear, even if it's bear season. I just shoot over his head to let him know to get the F out of here. The scary thing about this was I'm out there. He's about 30 yards from me. I lob one over his head, just some sixes, like some turkey shot. And he doesn't move. He just looks at me like, yo, what's up? And so I could have got back to the garage without getting mauled. So I lobbed another one over his head, and he took off. But then he didn't leave. He hung around here for about a week, didn't he?
Right.
He dropped a big calling card. I've never had a bear dump in my front yard, but he did it. Then the week after that, we had a juvenile bear show up out here. And then me and Raleigh, the Snoop Dogg here beside me, ran into some trouble back here down the road past the house. So that I don't like, you know. I want to feed the deer, whatever, the little critters around here. But you do attract trouble.
Right.
You know, again, this little podcast here is just, it's a plea for help. There's so many stories of people hoarding animals, you know, going broke, trying to save the animal population, people starving themselves in order to feed animals. It happens. It's crazy how people get to that point thinking they're making a difference. I do have to check myself and rein it in a little bit. But it is cool, isn't it, Kat, to look out the window and see all these animals out here enjoying the stuff we put out for them.
It is cool.
All right, let's roll right into One Tough Son of a Bitch. Ted Sarandos?
Sarandos.
60 years old from Long Beach,
California.
Oh, I thought it was New Jersey.
Oh, sorry, New Jersey, sorry.
Long Branch.
Jersey boy.
Ted, I'm going to let you say his last name.
Sarandos.
Sorry, Ted. He's the co-chief executive officer of a little thing known as Netflix. Perhaps you've heard of it. Ted joined Netflix in 2000 and was responsible for initiating their first round of original programming, Lilyhammer, and House of Cards, got the ball rolling. Ted created the model where Netflix purchases multiple seasons of shows without pilot orders. Ted uses algorithms to predict what programs viewers will watch. He knows the plan is to what? Build the fan base and then run the show for multiple seasons.
Right.
I don't know if he was the originator of that, but he's very good at that, perfecting that situation.
Let's see. I'm trying to think stuff that I've watched. Like Bridgerton, it was a big deal.
Worked at a video store and noticed what people like to watch. What was that?
I don't want to know.
College dropout, who now decides what you and I get to watch on Netflix. How about that? And that makes Ted Sarandos one tough son of a bitch. Are we watching stuff?
We watched something, and you're going to join in on this one. There was a three-part documentary series there on HBO called The Mortician.
Oh, my God.
Darkly gripping documentary.
Oh, my God.
Unravels the haunting story of the LA's most infamous family-run mortuary. In the early 80s, David Sconce took over the Lamb Funeral Home and engaged in morally questionable, inhumane practices to increase his earnings.
You've got to watch this docu-series, whatever it is, on HBO, The Mortician. I kept seeing it on the screen, and I'm like, Mortician, nobody wants to watch that. And then once you turn it on and see what this family did, not just the skeezy son, his parents were doing that dirty shit before he showed up. It is mind-blowing.
And the guy is just,
No regrets.
No regrets. I mean, first, my daughter and I were talking about it last night, and he's not just a narcissist. He's a psychopath, and he has that psychopath Ted Bundy look to him like, yeah,
I
don't care.
He did nothing wrong, and he has excuses for everything.
Right.
We're not going to spoil the plot.
No.
Just watch this thing. It's mind-blowing.
It's all self-preservation. And some of the stuff they did, you're just like, really? 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 You did that? And you
for a dollar.
For a dollar.
And then they got no time.
No, not really.
The parents got...
like 3 years.
And he got five.
Right. That's about
it. For, let's just say, cremation gone wrong. Yanking people's teeth for gold. I'm going to leave it right there.
Yeah. Don't go any further. It's pretty wild. And they didn't, I mean, and later on after he's done with it, he still is getting in trouble. I mean, with the gun charges,
they were not allowed to go near a dead body.
Right.
When they walked out of the courtroom. But that didn't stop him from being an asshole. He got a job driving a bus, taking people to the casino. We're going to the casino. The bus people gave him a handful of tickets. They were $20 a pop. Second time he did it, he goes, fuck it, I'm going to make my own tickets. He just got in trouble, right? And now he's free. Then he started making his own tickets and like skimming off of the bus ride and went to jail again for that. That's when the wife left him. And then he's on the show standing in front of the camera and goes, yeah, I had to divorce the wife because I just couldn't trust her.
What? Trust her. Trust her.
That's how screwed up this dude is. But if you look at him and talk to him, he's the man.
Anyway, if you want to check it out, I'm sure you can find it on Max/HBO streaming. And we would recommend you watch The Mortician.
It's too crazy. I need a shot after that.
Okay. In honor of the 6-foot alligator found in Fairfax County this week, we have a shot called the alligator piss shot. It's half an ounce of melon liqueur, half an ounce of coconut rum, and half an ounce of pineapple juice.
It looks like a melted Jolly Rancher apple thing.
That's not bad.
That is not bad. That's pretty good. It's got a unique smell to it. What's it called?
Alligator piss shot.
Oh, thank you, Capt.
You're
all right. This week we were bumpered in with a dude named Slade Cleaves, 60 years old.
Okay, we're good. Go.
This week we were bumpered in with a man named Slade Cleaves, 60 years old from Washington, D.C.
D.C. boy.
Slade is spelled S-L-A-I-D. May have been born in D.C., but my man's done some traveling. Raised in South Berwick, Maine. Spent some time in Cork, Ireland.
Ooh.
Playing on the street corners.
Busking.
He may be in Austin, Texas right now with his lovely wife, Karen, at the moment. Maybe. Slade Cleaves, hard worker. Writing, recording, and playing the clubs for years. That earns you respect from your peers and your fans. Slade Cleaves, he tells a little story with every song he writes. As I've said on these podcasts many times, listen to the lyrics. I dig it. This guy's great. Slade's big fan of Johnny Cash, Bruce Springsteen, and Tom Petty. And so are we. In 2025, he put out the album Together Through the Dark. Go to iTunes now. Just download the whole thing. You'll thank me later. Check out Slade Cleaves wherever you get your music. And thank everybody for hanging out on the back porch. We'll see y'all down the road.
See ya.
I'll believe it. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. And praise Jesus. The press sings another chorus of let freedom ring. We send our boys away to come home in parts. a beautiful thing.